Hello, everyone. I just wanted to let you guys know, first of all, thank you so much to everyone who has been thanking me for creating this podcast. Those of you who may not know what you're listening to, although you should, this is Straight Talk with Storm. I'm known in the industry as Seductive Storm, and I have been a companion for 18 years total, although I did retire twice for about a year each time. But overall, I've been doing this a long time, and I've made a few interview and podcast rounds this year, and I just felt like there was a need for a podcast that was relatable to everyone, or at least to the online community of sex workers, one that encompassed and welcomed everyone to the table, not just the elite, not just the upscale, not just the VIP, but even the mid-grade and the lower bracket, because everyone needs to feel some type of support and education in this thing. And so I hope each one of these episodes will be enlightening to you or make you laugh. Some might even make you cry. Some might make you angry as shit with the things I say or the things other people who are on here are saying. But at least we're opening a discussion and hearing each other. So please tune in every episode, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Thanks. Good morning, everyone. It's Storm. How you guys been doing? I know it's been like a while since anyone's heard from me, but I've been a busy girl. I recently got married. I've been posting for the last 2 years about the upcoming wedding. The wedding finally happened on May 14th. So I am officially married. For those wondering who the husband is, it is my co-web designer, best friend, and lover of the last 15 years. So we were together 13 years before finally getting engaged, and after 2 year engagement, we're finally married. So about that experience, so we're going to talk about a couple things today. We're going to talk, first I'm going to briefly explain, like, because it's always been an ongoing question. This question never goes away. I can look on Twitter today and find posts about it. You can find differing yet similar opinions both between sex workers and clients in regard to love while being a sex worker, you know, which covers strippers, cam girls, escorts, not just escorts. Although question usually falls into our laps because, you know, that's the community that I belonged to. I've been retired now 3 years come this August, but still pay close attention to, still assist, still do web design, still am here just as a cheerleader and a coach or mentor, if you will, for those who are still trying to find their way and want to hear from a vet, so to speak. So we're going to talk about that today. Then we're going to also talk about a lot of pick me and mean girl hate that I see on Twitter recently. Like I said, I've been planning a wedding, so I had only been really getting on Twitter up until after the wedding just to post things about my business, just to post images. But now I'm kind of getting back into the mix of things, reading things. Still don't have as much time because I'm playing catch up on a lot of web assignments and things of that nature, and family. However, I definitely have more time now than I had before, so I am paying attention to certain topics, and some of it is just gross the way people are acting. But let's get into the happy, joyous, sparkle stuff first. So the ongoing question: should sex workers have partners? And how does it feel to be the partner of a sex worker? So here's the thing. I used to tell men, even before I was with my now husband, which was, if if you like it enough to pay for it, like if you liked me, you liked what you saw of me on the internet, you liked the conversation, you liked the vibe enough, what makes you think somebody wouldn't feel that way about me on a personal, more long-term level and be with me? You guys, so I'm gonna speak to the guys first. You guys do realize a lot of us actually do have husbands and significant others. We just don't tell y'all because it's sort of like rappers and musicians. They want to give you the idea that they're single, but they are not necessarily so. But I don't know why it becomes such a shock to you guys, like when you find out that someone actually like really loves us or cares about us. And then the same thing goes on the sex worker side. Sex workers, I think, are almost ashamed and embarrassed and worried about the opinions of other sex workers if they let sex workers know that they have someone and that they're happy with someone. I always tell people, believe only half of what you read and even less of what you see as it pertains to social media and marketing. So there are a lot of pick me girls, and there are a lot of girls who want views, and there are a lot of girls who want clicks. And let me stop seeing girls. I mean no offense to other genders when I do that. So if I continue to do it, please forgive me. I am 53 years old, even though I don't look it, I am. And I'm still adjusting to remembering to be totally inclusive when I speak on things. And in like personal life, I am totally inclusive, you know. It's just that in the day and age when I was a companion, when I became one 20-some years ago, most companions were women. Whether they be trans women or CIS women, they were women. So I mean no disrespect to any other gender or any other defining term those of you listening go by. But a lot of these other companions pretend and will beat you over the head for happiness or for talking about love because they want everyone to believe that they are totally available emotionally and physically to their client and that they have time for nothing else other than getting to the bag. If you're an older person and you don't know what getting to the bag means, it means getting to the money. I think, in my opinion, those people, even though online, they look excellent, they've had their cosmetic surgery, they've got on their finery, and I'm not knocking the finery, I'm not even knocking the surgery. Whatever you can afford to do, do, especially if it makes you happy. But for me, I always found that a lot of those people get burnt out. I've watched some personally in front of me break down in tears over the years because whether you want to admit it or not, you lose a bit of your humanity when you are just a working machine all the time. When you view yourself and you allow others to only view you as a commodity, you almost, whether any of us want to admit it or not, feed into the very thing we want the rest of the world to stop doing to us as sex workers, right? They don't see sex workers as human a lot of the time. That's why you hear the term no human involved. That's why when one is harmed or something happens to them, in a lot of cases, 99.5% of cases, no one cares. Because from the very foundation of pimps, before there were independent companions, before there were female-run brothels, the whole idea is, a woman is a commodity to be used as we see fit as men. That's what that was. And then many of us internalized that, accepted it because we needed to make money. Here's a really bad example too. It's sort of like character acting. Like when someone totally immerses themselves in a character to the point where that character's personalities take over the actor as a real person. Heath Ledger's a great example of that and a very sad example of that. He immersed himself so deeply into taking on the persona and the vibe of the Joker that it led to a real darkness in him, which then later contributed to his death. You have to be careful and not lose sight of where you as the sex worker begins and ends, and where you as your real person begins and ends. And a lot of companions do that, and they end up burnt out, they end up bitter, they end up hating the universe, but they won't tell you that. They're still on Twitter with their 10K followers pretending like everything is fine. When if you talk to a lot of them, if you got to know them on a personal level, like I've had the pleasure of getting to do over the years, they're in pain. A lot of them, including myself, have mental illness or addictions. A lot of them don't. But a lot of them do also. And even if they don't have mental conditions or addictions, they still deal with so much inner turmoil and stress of this, of the job. And yes, sex work is a job, that you don't see the real them. You see the smoke and mirrors that they want you to see from marketing. So to the companions who want love, because I had one reach out to me when she saw I was engaged, and she said she was so happy for me because now she believes as a sex worker that she could have that too. I want to tell you all, you absolutely can have that. I had clients over the years say that my current husband wasn't a man if he allowed me to do what I was doing. And I have said this before, probably on this podcast. I know I've blogged about it before. Firstly, I'm an adult. He does not own me. I have full body autonomy. And I have a very intelligent, functioning, mature brain. And I did what I wanted to do, what I needed to do, what I felt like I was comfortable doing until I was no longer comfortable doing it. It's that simple. Did we have arguments about it? Yes. Did it make him feel some type of a way? Sometimes, yes. Strange thing is, and maybe this is what made it for easier for us too, he met me as a client. Now that's really an open sore book. I have a couple of friends other than me who have married people that they met as clients. And a lot of other companions will tell you that's ridiculous. Don't date a client. Don't date or marry a client, because then you're taking away the source of his income from yourself, because why would he pay you if he can see you for free? So first of all, even in marriage and in relationships, unless you're dating a bum, nobody's seeing anybody for free. Nobody's seeing anybody for free. If you're seeing a real gentleman who's taking you out on nice dinners, saying thank you and showing his appreciation with nice flowers, nice gifts, going on vacation with you, if you have children, getting things for your kids, he is still financially supporting you. It's just not hourly anymore. There's more of a deeper connection. It's not hourly anymore. But that is not, in any sense of the term, giving it away for free. You understand? I don't think a lot of people understand that. Again, you get to be a real person sometimes. But when you find, and I'm not suggesting that the only way to find love is as a sex worker is to date someone who knew from the very beginning what you were because they met you that way. But I am saying that often is what works out the best, because there's no bullshit from the beginning. Both of you know what it is. You don't have to lie to each other about where you're going. Like, I used to have to tell him all the time, like, you can't come over right now. I have appointments up until whatever time. Once those are over, you can come over. I would carve out weekend time for just us. Things of that nature. There were times I had a house large enough, two floors. He would be on one floor, and I would see my clients on the other floor of the house. Like, it takes to me, when men say a man who allows that is not a man, I think it's the opposite. I think there is no greater display of a man's manhood than when he gets rid of the jealous, petty bullshit and just is fully accepting. Well, not fully, because like I said, my partner wasn't fully accepting, but accepting of his partner's decisions to the point where he sacrifices his own ego and his own emotional well-being sometimes just to let her do what she needs to do, whether it be to survive or thrive. There's a difference in survival and thriving, but they're both necessary in life. But back on subject. So you can also meet someone, though, at a bar, at a restaurant, and have an honest discussion with him about what you do for a living, and he might still be interested, or she may still be interested. It doesn't have to be, though, that you're stupid if you find love. It doesn't have to be that you're stupid if you want more for yourself than just business customers. There's also nothing wrong with the ladies that do. The ladies who are truly like that, and I know some very, very happy young ladies and gentlemen who are like that, because they're people who don't really believe in monogamy and relationships anyway to a certain degree. And so for them, that is the real them. So therefore they are happy. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the ones, though, who that's not the real them. They do want the relationship, whether it be polyamory, monogamy, all of it. They want to be loved. They want to come home and someone be there. Or they want to, even if they don't live together, have that one special person that they have a real deep connection with. Again, not everyone is like that. Some people will never be relationship people. And that's even in the civvy world. I have friends who are perfectly happy being alone. I have had years of my life where I was perfectly happy being alone. I'm not stating that. What I'm talking about, though, is when career and profession take over so much in any job, not just sex work, that you forget that life is short and that you need to take time to be loved and to love and to enjoy it. Like, we're human beings. We're fundamentally meant to nurture, meant to be emotional, meant to be like packs, meant to be in groups. Humans are not really meant to be solitary creatures. We're not. That's why solitary confinement is a form of punishment at a jail, because humans don't thrive that way. But I guess the main point I want to make in looking at my own life and just giving you something to take from it is that you can have both, or you should be able to. And if you find a partner who can't accept you having both, then you gotta still be moving on and find another partner. But if you find someone who accepts that you're a sex worker and can put their ego on the back burner until you get to your goal point where you're comfortable and you feel as though you can step back from it and you no longer wish to do it on your own, then take that chance and go ahead and do it and totally screw and to hell with what everyone else says and thinks about it. to the people like, oh, he doesn't love you or she don't love you. They could never love someone like you. And the age old expression, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, please. All of that stuff is so redundant, so regurgitated, and so 1940s and 1950. We are in 2023. We can do anything. If Elon Musk can figure out how to get spacecrafts to outer space without the funding of NASA, and I might be wrong on that, maybe they helped him a bit. I'm not a big, you know, Elon Musk person. But if we can, if they have come up with a way to create PrEP so that people can feel a little safer about HIV. And I'm not even getting into that because I live in Atlanta where I feel like PrEP actually is misused. And what I mean by that is everyone is running around sleeping with everybody raw, no condoms, because PrEP exists. And now people aren't scared of dying from HIV anymore, but they're perfectly okay with welcoming it into their bodies and into the bodies of others. Because guess what? We can take PrEP and we can also take these new cocktails, these new pills that we don't have to take 30. Now maybe I only have to take 4 to 6 pills a day and I can live pretty much a regular life expectancy. So people now have lost the sense of fear of HIV that they once had, that was a healthy sense of fear. And they really don't care anymore in certain cities, Atlanta being one of them. We now lead the nation again in HIV cases. Hear that, ladies who are considering work in Atlanta or who live here currently, or clients who are seeing ladies in Atlanta or any gender in Atlanta. We now lead again in HIV cases. I read that on my way home from my wedding because we got married in Miami. We had a destination wedding. On the way home in the car, when I was just scrolling and reading, we were driving home, I was like, oh, wow. So we're back to number one. But that's off topic. But again, you know, protect yourself, people. Protect yourself. But at any rate, you know, we have all these things now that have been invented and created. They still need to work on ovarian cancer. I don't know why they can't figure that one out. And that's so sad. But they definitely need to figure that out. And I strongly suggest if you're a woman like me who has gone into menopause and you can afford or have a doctor who's willing to use your insurance to take all of your lady parts out, which I heard makes sex feel so much better. One of my friends had it done, and I was supposed to have had it done this year, but I needed to wait till after the wedding financially to do it. But if you can do that, it won't give you 100% chance of ever getting ovarian cancer, because ovarian cells can still remain in your body even with them gone and with your uterus and your cervix gone. However, it greatly lessens the chances. And the longer you leave that bad plumbing in there, that's just basically sitting there and serves no purpose in your body anymore, ladies, it's a risk. So I absolutely, like, I'm 100% behind elective hysterectomy, total hysterectomy surgery. We'll be getting mine in the next few months. But yes, you, like, we have to stop telling companions that they are not worthy of love. And companions, you have to stop believing it, because people only do it because they know that it's been drilled into the psyche and into the workings of this industry for so long that we're just here for play, for pleasure, and for throwing away. And so, you know, I'm just saying, we got to do different. We just have to do different. So now we're going to move on to hatred and mean girls and pick me. I need to stop the recording real quick because now that they have switched over to Spotify, the timing is shorter. So I'm going to stop this recording and start another one, and we'll come right back in where I left off. All right, so let's get into part two. I'm back. Part two of the same episode. Mean girls and pick me's, which a lot of times on social media and in sex work in general seem to be the same thing. So first, to my companions who are listening, you do realize that you have the power, right? Like, you do realize that you have the gold, the golden pot. And that can be a penis, that can be a vagina. The point is, you're in control. So why do you think that you need to pander to the opinions of the guys and gals on Twitter? So last week, I and many others witnessed a slew of transphobia. I want to go on record as stating I have actually been intimate with a transgender female before. It was part of something that we did for me and my husband's birthday. They were not intimate in any way, but she and I were. Strangely enough, it was supposed to be a domination fetish session for him, and she decided that she took an interest in me. It was a very unique experience. It was probably within the first 6 months of he and I being together. So yeah, we started off with a bang. So yeah, but some of my best business contacts, business customers, repeat customers to my web design business, assistant business are transgender people. I find them to be extremely professional. I find them to be loyal friends. There's one in particular who has been so good to me and so good to my husband's business as well, that I just can't imagine like not having her in my circle. I have seen transgender and gay people, I'm bisexual myself, as allies and friends, and they're just regular human beings trying to live their lives since I was a little girl, when they were more transsexual than transgender, because they hadn't quite, most people, they knew how to do the surgeries, but most people couldn't afford it. So a lot of them just dressed the part, but didn't go through with the transitioning, so to speak. And so I'm happy for them. I'm happy for anyone who gets to live their truth and it's not causing harm to anyone else. I am tired of people hiding behind this BS of, well, they can't be in the restroom with me because they might rape me. You guys do understand that public restrooms on a whole aren't super safe, right? You know that. When I was a teenager many years ago, a guy, a regular guy, not a transgender woman, followed a girl into a restroom at the mall on a regular shopping Saturday when we as teenagers were hanging out, and he killed her in the bathroom. He picked her randomly, raped her, and killed her in a bathroom of a shopping mall in the middle of a Saturday afternoon. You do know sometimes other women have stabbed and shot other women in bathrooms, right? You know, CIS women do attack other women as well. It's no different than a man being in the bathroom and getting robbed and beat up in a male bathroom. Shit happens. We live in an evil world, people. We don't live in an innocent kumbaya, rainbows and butterflies universe. We don't. We simply do not. And we gotta stop looking for reasons to blame certain groups of people for everything. Case in point, before we get back on topic on this particular topic. Do you know that back in history, cocaine was one of the ingredients in Coca-Cola, and it was legal, and you could buy cocaine and you could get high at will. And then they decided to make it an illegal substance because they said, and I literally saw this on the History Channel many years ago, they stated that they made cocaine illegal because it made Black people violent and agitated. First of all, no. What it probably did was give us a little more courage to stand up for ourselves during the 50s, and they didn't like that. It gave us probably a little more oomph to fight back. So basically, because of that, they decided, oh, we're going to make cocaine illegal, because that also gave them another way to re-enslave Black people by throwing them into legal slavery, which is called the penal system, prisons. Prisons are nothing more than modern day slavery. It's just another way for them to take marginalized people. I'm not saying that some people who are in prison don't deserve to be there. Rapists, murderers, armed robbers, those who do repeat offenses that seriously harm and endanger other people, of course they belong there. But you know what? Prison's full of a lot less of people who actually belong there than people who don't belong there or who could benefit from different types of reform and rehabilitation. But I'm not getting into that. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole today. The point that I'm making, though, is that also another point, when Wuhan, China had the leak and COVID happened, the world wanted to blame every Asian person they could. The same way when you see a gay character in a TV show or a TV commercial, oh, they're going to teach my kids to be gay. Can't teach your kids to be gay. I say this as a bisexual person. I knew that I like little girls and little boys around the age of 5. My mother was not bisexual, and my grandparents who raised me didn't even kiss in front of me. You are what you are, and it is not by choice unless you're just curious and you're participating in a threesome because somebody wants you to. That's different. But if you're genuinely in your gut attracted to people and you know that even very young, then that's who you are. That's who you are. I think we really have to stop stereotyping people and thinking every transgender person that comes in a restroom with you is going to try to do something to you. Because most transgender people truly identify as what they are. So when they come in, unless they're a bisexual transgender, which happens, but most of them are attracted to, most female transgenders are attracted to males and vice versa, unless they're bisexual or fluent. And that's not a problem either. Not everything is about your weird ass who's in the bathroom who thinks they're going to try to do something to you. Like, how ridiculous. Again, we're in 2023. Come on, people. Like seriously? And also, this crap with, I saw one girl say, well, I'm not transphobic, but you can call me that then, because I don't think they should get to compete, and it's unfair. I've been having this argument with people for the last 4 years as far as sports go. I understand that their body type, their muscle mass, how they maintain fat makes it easier for them to win. I get that. But I also understand that if you want some shit and you really want to win, you work hard at it. And you don't use the excuse of somebody else had more testosterone. Somebody else's body is built more to do that. Because there's a female athlete, CIS female, who is as fast or faster than Usain Bolt, and he's a man. There is Serena Williams, who, if you look at her physically, and how she maintains herself and takes care of herself, could probably whoop up upon most male tennis players without any issue. if you want something, again, we live in a world where there's all this magnificent stuff. There's exercise equipment even for your home now that you couldn't have imagined years ago. There's smart exercise equipment. There's personal trainers. There's diets. There's ways of building muscle mass. There's natural herbs that you can take that can give you the same strength. Their strength is natural. Theirs comes from genetics and from what gender they were born as. I absolutely get that. But if you think that there's not a female athlete out here somewhere who can dust off a transgender female who she's running against down the track field, you're crazy. Because I know for a fact there's probably plenty of CIS women who know for a fact they can dust a transgender female's ass off on a track and field, or in a weight room, or in wrestling. You know why? Because they're dedicated to their sport as well. And now that they know that they're going to be up against them, guess what they're going to do? They're going to work out twice as hard. They're going to watch their diet more. They're going to do whatever it takes to compete on an equal playing field. But it is not fair of you, because of your small way of thinking, to force a trans woman to run in a man's race. She's no longer a man, even if she was even if she was born as one, she's no longer one. She's got breasts now. She's probably got hips that are created now. So now she is running with a different physique than if she still had her straight up male physique. It's just like aerodynamics on a car. Now she's different. And now she deserves to run with women. And that's the truth, whether you like it or not. To all you parents who are worried about your high school kids and their scholarships, have them work out harder. Have them try harder so that they can compete. Because I've always felt men and women should be able to compete. The same way when I was in high school, we had a girl in the 80s who made the boys football team. These things happen. The world is always so scared of change. And it's so sad that we're so scared of change. And to the girls who are online, like helping promote the hate, just so you can get the money of this group of like extreme political guys, or as I like to call them, Americans. When I say that, because we're all American, but American to me is like, you know, the overly proud or overly patriotic, like takes it to the extreme to the point where it's almost an obsession American, okay? Who just is a Trumper through and through, even without Trump in office, just wants to take away the rights of females. I swear, one morning we're going to wake up in The Handmaid's Tale, the way the world is going, but wants to take away all female body autonomy, wants to take away the right to, and now I'm planning on moving to Florida in a year or two, but now I'm talking about DeSantis specifically, yeah, I said it, who is limiting what history books can be taught and read in Florida, because it's fine to teach all of white history as long as that makes everyone happy. But we want to not give all of history. We want to give their version of events. Do you know when I went to school, I was taught their version of events at 53. Saw a little bit of reality in the movie Roots. And then as I got older, saw Amistad. But it wasn't until I was an adult myself when I realized that genocide in Africa played as big a part in slavery as the white people who took advantage of it. So our own people in Africa were not without fault on it by any means. But at the same token, that doesn't make what white America did and what Spain did and what other countries did by enslaving Africans correct either. The whole system was a clusterfuck. for lack of a better term, right? So we have to stop doing this. We have to stop promoting hate. Like, y'all are literally promoting hate in the hopes of attracting the clients that you think have the most money. Like, and some of you are never going to be that client's type anyway, and you're still doing it. You still think that's okay. And I wonder, and if you all really believe what you're online saying as a pick me and as a mean girl, like if you really believe it, then that's ridiculous. Same thing with the companions I see body shaming and fat shaming and economic shaming other sex workers. Just remember, when you're high up, you have a longer way to fall, and your fall will be worse. Think of yourself falling from a 15-story building. Think of that. What goes up doesn't always stay up. Everything is in ebbs and flows. So next time you're making fun of the poorers, as I've seen some of you call them, or next time you want to talk about what your body looks like, which, you know, you may have gotten naturally or you may not have. And I don't hate on people who have plastic surgery. Again, do it if it makes you happy. What I hate on, though, is the girls who have plastic surgery didn't lose any weight naturally on their own, but want to make fun of a girl who can't afford plastic surgery who's still a little heavier than them. By the way, I'm a BBW. If you haven't seen me, but you've only heard this podcast, I'm a BBW and I'm very proud of my fluff. The sizes I've been in my life, though, are a size zero. Yes, a size zero as an adult, a size 3, a size 7, and then straight to a size 16, where I have sat now for many years. I have 5 children, though, so I earned my damn fluff, and I'm a gorgeous woman. If you've ever seen pics of me, go check them out if you haven't. You can find me on Twitter as Supergirl Storm, and my name online is Seductive Storm. Not the trans female Seductive Storm, because I think there is one of them also online. However, Seductive Storm female Ebony would be me. And I don't care if I sound vain and conceited as hell right now. I am a gorgeous, older BBW woman. I'm still turning many a heads, and my husband is 16 years my junior, and he's been with me 15 years. So believe me when I tell you, I still got it, and I still look like I got it. And I am okay with my belly. Do I wish it was flatter? Yes, but you know what? I'm not about to jeopardize my life over it, because there's a lot of people, even celebrities. One just died yesterday in Miami getting plastic surgery. It's not worth it. Some of the stuff we do as sex workers and as women in general are so dangerous. Just to get picked. Again, I have to remind y'all, y'all are the ones with the power. You choose. You don't pick. We choose. Women choose. Like that expression, she choosing. We choose. We don't get picked. Y'all are out here raising your hand, jumping up and down like an elementary school pick me, to the point where you're throwing your community under the bus and embarrassing yourself in the process, even if you don't realize it. To the point where you are alienating yourself from other companions who might have been a great person or people to have in your corner. Like, you're, for lack of a better term, trying so hard to cater to the guys who you're hoping are going to see it and pay you. I'm not talking about you catering to your regs you already have. You're supposed to do that. If you're catering to people who have already contacted you, you're supposed to do that. But catering to someone doesn't mean promoting hate. Catering just means being kind, being accessible, and being interesting and friendly and flirty enough that they want to see you over and over and over again. Trust me, for longevity in this business, that'll make you a lot more money than you creating adversaries out of other girls that you could have been networking with. And you're also turning away clients who can tell that you're pick me and who don't share in your evil way of thinking either. You might be alienating the very clients who are going to see you, who might have more money than the like over the top American supercharged obsessive Republican ones that you assume have all the money. And I realize not all Republicans are my description. I'm just pointing out that particular group because that's who this particular group of companions is pandering to with all these different hate topics. And someone needs to say it. Plenty of people were dragging y'all, and y'all know who you are, online last week. It even made me write a long tweet, and I haven't done that in a long time because we're so tired of seeing the hate. You do not have to be hateful to make money. And if you have to be hateful to make money, then you're a lazy hoe. If you have to be hateful to make money, then you are a lazy hoe who doesn't want to put her work in and really build her brand the right way and communicate the right way to get the clients that she wants and deserves. If you're just jumping on a bandwagon in hopes of getting clients, it's sad. It's pathetic. I said it. I said what I said, and I meant what I just said. Do better. Again, love people, love life and light. Get your money without hurting other people. Get your money without insulting other people. And girls, like I said earlier, girls, guys, whatever gender you are, if you want love, go out here and get love while being a sex worker. Thrive while being a sex worker. It can be done. You can thrive in every area of your life. It's all about time management and self-management and self-love. I enjoyed talking with you guys this morning. And I know I've been saying it for months now. I plan to get back to interviewing people. I'm probably going to start with people who I have interviewed previously. Just have them come on, get some updates for them, and we're going to talk about some stuff. But yeah, like, promote love, not hate, and go get to the bag. And remember, even though I'm retired, even though I'm married, I am still part of the sex work community. I am still here to mentor. I am still here for whatever you need me for. Okay? Don't ever forget that. And you can find me on Twitter at Storm Assist. And you can also find me on Twitter at Supergirlstorm. Take care.